Radio Daily. For halfway day, we're sliding right on into it. Yet another weekend, and this weekend is poker, everybody. Hey, all of you people out there in internet radio land. You guys can play poker with us. Come play Jackbox with us as well. We have this, Facebook page, Geek Radio Daily. You can find it by going to Facebook and typing that, or by going to geekradiodaily.com, which is where we happen to be from, and there's a link to it there as well. It's, you can figure out how to make this all happen. We're playing this weekend, and there's drinking involved, and there's all kinds of just smack talk because it's poker. But today's show, the folks that are bringing it to you today, the man that you never want to have go dark on you, that there is podcasting for Siegfried.
Fucking killed yourself.
That wasn't you?
That was it? Okay, hi, everyone. I'm going for Billy Flynn.
Can't you just say hello like a normal person?
No, I can't. What happened this day, sir?
In 1816, George E. Clymer of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, begins manufacturing the first printing press invented in America.
1885, Otmar Mergenthaler is granted a U.S. patent for his linotype machine. It allows printers to set entire lines of lead type as slugs for printing, drastically simplifying justification, and introduces keyboards to the typesetting process.
1930, the Adler Planetarium and Astronomical Museum is opened to the public in Chicago, Illinois. It is America's first modern planetarium.
1934, Hans G. Luzinski and Sidney Rota of EMI apply for a patent of the Super Emitron Image Iconoscope Television Camera Tube that was really impressive for about 5 years.
1936, efficiency experts August Dvorak and William Dealey patent the Dvorak typewriter keyboard.
Wait, they didn't include the other guy? What's the Dealey? 1937, BBC Television transmits the coronation procession of King George VI to an audience of 50,000. It's the first official broadcast from outdoors, and the event marks the first use of a mobile television studio known as the Outside Broadcast Van. And yes, Al Franken's grandpa was in it.
1941, German engineer Konrad Zuse completes the Z3, the first fully automatic programmable computer. It is a major advancement on its predecessors, such as the device designed by Charles Babbage.
1965, the Soviet spacecraft Luna 5 crashes on the moon. No, that was intentional.
1984, Winston Smith writes in his diary, "Freedom is the freedom to say 2 plus 2 equals 4. If that is granted, all else follows."
Fake news. Same day, same year, Kyle Reese holds an officer at gunpoint to find out what year it is after having stolen a homeless man's pants and put it on a body that didn't have underwear.
Ew. 1982, release 18 of the Infocom interactive fiction game Zork 2, The Wizard of Froboz is published.
1994, the American National Standard Institute's ANSI approves the Advanced Technological Attachment, ADA, standard for connecting storage devices such as hard disks and CD-ROM drives into personal computers.
1999, advance tickets go on sale for Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. Lucasfilm insists on a 12-ticket-per-customer limit. However, as a result, some advance tickets will be sold by scalpers for as much as $100 each.
I waited in line 3.5 hours to get tickets. Same day, same year, Nintendo announces a new video game console codenamed Dolphin, built around a 400 megahertz copper microchip technology called Gecko, which became the GameCube, a system whose name I will say.
2000, Warner Brothers releases science fiction film Battlefield Earth, directed by Roger Christian, starring John Travolta, Barry Pepper, Forest Whitaker, and Kim Coates. It, of course, is the Passion of the Christ for Scientologists.
2003, the bride tries to kill Bud, but is buried in a coffin. Ellie Driver kills Bud and is killed by the bride, who has escaped the coffin. Man, there was so much in Kill Bill Volume 2.
2004, the 2004 Webby Awards are announced. Winners include Best Practices, Google, Commerce, iTunes Music Store, Community, Wikipedia, and Humor, The Onion. Of course, The Onion ended up being more prophetic, as we saw the past 4 years.
Same day, same year, at a conference at the University of California, Zahi Hawass, the president of Egypt's Supreme Council of Antiquities, announces the discovery of a series of structures over 1,000 years old that archaeologists believe to be the world's first university, the Library of Alexandria.
2008, Google announces on its Latlog blog that it will begin testing a face-blurring algorithm on Google Street View photos of Manhattan.
I was reading Bob Loblaw's law blog. Michael J. Massimino becomes the first person to ever use Twitter from space. His tweet reads, "From orbit, launch was awesome. I'm feeling great, working hard, enjoying the magnificent view. The adventure of a lifetime has begun." And then he shared cat videos. Birthdays?
Emily Van Camp is 35. From Brothers and Sisters, Revenge, and of course, Sharon Carter in the MCU.
Madeline Ackerman is 43 from Harold and Camargo to White Castle, Watchmen, Rock of Ages.
Jason Biggs is 43. Jim in American Pie, Leonardo in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Orange is the New Black, and of course, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Samantha Mathis is 51 from Pump Up the Volume, Broken Arrow in American Psycho.
Kim Fields is 52. Tootie on Facts of Life, and of course, Living Single.
Tony Hawk is 53 and still asks the youths if they'd like to go skateboarding.
He also is constantly mistaken for Tony Hawk. Stephen Baldwin is 55 from Threesome, Biodome, The Young Writers, and the one good thing that he was in, Usual Suspects.
Vanessa A. Williams is 58 from Candyman, Melrose Place, that's the original, Soul Food.
Emilio Estevez is 59 from The Breakfast Club, Young Guns, Maximum Overdrive, and I believe can be seen on the Mighty Ducks TV show.
Oh, that's right. Bruce McCullough is 61. You best know him from The Kids in the Hall.
You ever see him? Ask him about the Daves he knows. Ving Rhames is 62 from Pulp Fiction, Striptease, Mission Impossible, and Kojak.
He's Homer J. Simpson is 65, a nuclear technician, an astronaut, a barbershop quartet enthusiast.
Gabriel Byrne is 71 from Miller's Crossing in Treatment, The Sixth Day, and of course, The Usual Suspects.
Bruce Boxleitner is 71 from Tron Legacy, Bring Him Back Alive, Scarecrow and Mrs. King, most of the Gambler movies, oddly enough.
That's right. Millie Perkins is 83. Anne Frank in Diary of Anne Frank, Two Moon Junction, and Knots Landing.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1907, Katharine Hepburn from The Philadelphia Story, African Queen, and Rooster Cogburn.
1918, Julius Rosenberg, executed for passing secrets to the Russians.
We used to do that. 1925, Yogi Berra, baseball legend and philosopher. 90% of it is half mental. When you come to the fork in the road, take it.
1930, Jesus Franco, The Awful Dr. Orloff, The Brides of Dracula, and Revenge of the Alligator Woman.
1937, George Carlin. My God, Car Wash, Bill and Ted, the whole Viewisk universe, Jersey Girl, and Cars, which most people forget, and of course, knew a whole list of words that certain people didn't like.
I believe there were certain places you couldn't even say them.
True.
Not on a podcast, and they are... On CBS, we've got Kids Say the Darndest Things, a new SEAL team, and SWAT.
I know George Carlin said the darndest. ABC, New Goldbergs, Home Economics, The Conners, and the group examines their own racial biases in the wake of George Floyd's death, and they participate in a protest on a new A Million Little Things.
Now I want to see comedians like that, like really filthy ones. Like Andrew Dice Clay says the darndest things.
That would be
NBC
fantastic.
Has the Chai Dry with Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, and your...
Fox, the quarterfinals, 5 fan favorites on the new The Masked Singer and a new Game of Talents.
CW, Jin takes my lay on a surprise date. Nikki takes matters into her own hands when the retrieval of a weapon doesn't go as planned on a new Kung Fu and Anti-Drew.
Freeform is showing Mrs. Doubtfire!
AMC has gone in 60 seconds.
FX has glass. Sure, it's not what we wanted, but still, good times.
FXX has Bob's Burgers Marathon.
FXM is showing Home. Aw.
IFC has Weekend at Bernie's.
You know, that's a good double feature with The Trouble with Harry. BBC America is showing Gladiator.
Paramount has Big Daddy.
Siffy has The World's End. Wrap up your Cornetto trilogy right there, baby.
TBS has a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
TNT is showing Kong Skull Island.
USO has WWE Next, brother.
Science Channel, Secret Lives of Neutrinos on a new How the Universe Works, but tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a newly single woman moves into a new apartment after breaking up with her longtime boyfriend. But when her landlord takes an interest in her, she finds it increasingly difficult to live a comfortable life as her isolation grows. Caroline Harris and Ignacio Montoya star in My Nightmare Landlord.
The nightmare is that guy's name.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When a man surrenders to Chad and Stefan voluntarily, they end up tangling with a bounty hunter who is chasing this guy for the big bad reward being offered. Chad's daughter Grace decides to take some time off from taming the wild animals and try to smooth out this situation. She can do it. See, she don't play with no paper dolls anymore. Remember when we did that show? She stays in the loop and is gonna take these bad guys to the cleaners. Hashtag Chappie. Forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox.
Hi, geeks. Notes taken at work. Billy, I loved it when you quoted MST3K's name for the slab hero in Space Mutiny. What? The same company that targeted black women with their talcum powder products weren't careful enough with a vaccine? What? And yes, word getting out is a sign that the system is working. Sorry, the phallus is located in another castle. Cracked me up, too. I've never played a Mario game, so I wondered if surviving members of Sha-Na-Na contemplated whether it would flatter or embarrass their Bowser if they said he modeled for the toy. Stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, I'm with you. I also have had a couple of moments where I've pretended that Bowser was doing ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Because I just think that would be delightful. Get some little Kooplings out there doing some harmonies. Oh, it's awesome. If you've had other weird singer video game crossovers, by all means, you need to share that with us. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course a voicemail, a text message, either one. You still need the number
510-GRD-CROW.
Is Toad an alto or a tenor?
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week, written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hi, this is Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
And having a good old time. Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you're... Because I can't imagine you're listening to us if something really serious and dramatic is going on. But if you are, please tell us. We'd love to talk you down.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
And what could be more fun and helpful than new comics at the shop? What's there, sir?
From DC, we've got Batman the Detective 2 of 6, Joker 3, Rorschach 8 of 12, and grab your favorite boba and pull a chair up to the dim sum table as DC celebrates Asian Heritage Month with all your favorite Asian DC characters, old and new. Join Cassandra Cain, Katana, Green Lantern, Ty Pham, The Atom, Dana Tan, a.k.a. Batman Beyond, Red Arrow, Lady Shiva, Damian Wayne, and the Al Ghul Clan, a new Superman, and more as we present new tales of these characters from their thrilling history. Plus, Cheshire Cat's relationship to Cheshire is revealed as Shoes asks Selina Kyle to take her under her wing as Catgirl in a new DC Festival of Heroes, the Asian Superhero Celebration, number one.
Over at Marvel, it's Children of the Atom, number 3, Fantastic Four, number 32, Spider-Woman, number 12, and Krakoa is for closures. The deals have been made. Mutant kind is safe on Krakoa. As the reign of X continues, what are the wants of the mutants who have everything? Leading the charge is X Corporation, headed by CXOs Monet St. Croix and Warren Worthington. A duo as cutthroat and ruthless in the boardroom as they are on the battlefield, but X Corp needs more than just its figureheads. As Monet set out to staff their team with some of the brightest and most deviant minds of mutant kind, Warren finds himself in a tense meeting with one of Krakoa's first allies who wants to know the truth. On Angel's Wings, will X-Corp crash or soar? Find out in X-Corp 1! And if there's more than one issue, they probably do okay for a while.
From Dark Horse, we've got Black Hammer, Visions 4 of 8, Grendel, Devil's Odyssey 6 of 8, Resident Alien, Your Ride's Here, wrapping up at 6, and Investigator Sarah Jewell, Rise of the Black Flame, Witchfinder, The Reign of Darkness, gets her own series in this murder mystery with an occult twist. A locked room murder mystery puzzles paranormal detective Sarah Jewell and her associate Marie Therese when a weekend trip on a private island off the coast of Washington goes astray. Trapped by a storm and surrounded by myriad suspects who have gathered for an auction of occult items, the intrepid duo must unravel the supernatural mystery surrounding the guests in hopes of uncovering the murderer. But all the while, bodies keep piling up, and at the moment, Sarah, or Mary Therese, could be next.
No.
In the House of Lost Horizons, a Sarah Jewell mystery, number one.
Over at IDW Publishing, Kanto and the City of Giants, 2 of 3, G.I. Joe, a real American hero, 281, Transformers Escape, 3 of 5, and Image, it's Birthright, number 49, Geiger, number 2, Ice Cream Man, number 24, and the year is 2140, and to escape a world with no future, many turn to The Syndicate, a criminal organization who, for the right price, will smuggle you back in time to a better life.
After working for the Syndicate for years, Satsuo and Oscar decide to steal one of their boss's time machines, but soon find the one thing you can't run from is your past. In Time Before Time, number one. I didn't know Cyndi Lauper had prequels.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, the second generation of PlayStation VR, a PS5 exclusive, that new unit will see some decided upgrades from the last one.
Call me when they get the holodeck or Imaginarium running.
I'll get Dr. Parnassus right on it. Baby steps, Ted. The new headset includes a 4K resolution screen, a lens separation adjustment dial, eye tracking, and a motor in the headset to give haptic feedback.
Wait, do I really want to know what a headshot feels like? Wait, will it also bring getting teabagged to life?
Much like the Oculus Quest 2, the new headset will use onboard cameras to track the controllers and won't require a PS camera, because I would like to say bad things about Sony. There will only be one cord that will connect via a standard USB-C connection. Where it differs from the Oculus, though, is the alleged eye-tracking capabilities the site speculates allows for the inclusion of foveated rendering.
Which is a fancy name for blurry picture.
It only focuses on one part. The technique reduces the quality of images in the peripherals whilst super sampling the focused area. Blurry picture. The eye tracking could also improve the overall VR experience with improved throwing mechanics, more lifelike interactions like tripping over your own feet, walking into a pole while on your VR phone, and virtually writing letters complaining about the PS5 user interface. It's not just me, right? Right?
Right you are, Flynn. Moving on, Resident Evil Village launched last week to critical acclaim, but at least one person is less than happy about its release. A Dutch filmmaker has accused Capcom of taking his monster designs. In 2013, Richard Raffhorst released a movie called Frankenstein's Army. After seeing Sturm from the game, he noticed that it looked a little familiar.
Gifts we gave, but more you took, so more in turn is due.
In a LinkedIn post, he shared two comparison images accusing Capcom of copying his monster. If you haven't played Resident Evil Village, at one point Ethan fights a monster with a propeller attached to his face. Not only do we see this enemy prominently displayed in the game, but he also has two appearances prior to this boss fight. If you look at images of the similar monster from Frankenstein's Army, you can see that it, too, is a big guy with a propeller strapped to his face. Coincidences happen, sure, but this could possibly be an homage to the film. Twitter user and awesomely creative Twitch streamer CloneCore posted their own comparison shots that make it clear just how similar the two characters are.
You know, no one's complaining Zack Snyder stole zombie dogs for Resident Evil and Zombie Vegas.
That isn't to say that they're 100% identical, mind you. Sturm is shirtless and has a glowing reactor on his back, while the creature from Frankenstein's Army has clothes on.
I also once argued that I was not copying someone because I was nude. Legally, that's all I'm allowed to say.
That was a really weird episode of Kids Say the Darndest Things. The propellers themselves are also different. The one in the movie has red tips on each of the three blades, while Resident Evil's Village is totally black and look like chainsaw blades. But Sturm's propellers are also much longer, and his general design is bulkier. Regardless, it's clear that they're of similar concept, and no other monsters with propellers on their face will come to mind. Of course, if you add the context of another five characters from the game that are obviously inspired from the indie film, it paints a damning picture. Now, Capcom has said that it was, in fact, not inspired, and everything and all their characters are completely different. You see, their propeller head doesn't go where. It goes where.
Speaking of fighting with game makers, earlier this year, fans reversed engineered the source code of Grand Theft Auto 3 and Grand Theft Auto Vice City. They released it to the web, but Grand Theft Auto copyright holder Take-Two pulled it offline with a DMCA claim. But one fan stood up to the publisher and has now succeeded in getting the reverse engineered source code back online.
Did they get the hot coffee mug back in there?
A week after the code went public on GitHub, Rockstar's parent company Take-Two Interactive issued the DMCA takedown, claiming that the reverse-engineered source code contained copyrighted materials owned by Take-Two. GitHub pulled the fan-derived code.
You can blame my mother. I do.
However, a New Zealand-based developer named Theo who maintained a fork of the removed code, couldn't agree with Take-Two's claims and pushed back, filing their own counter notice with GitHub last month. The counterclaim seems to have succeeded, as GitHub's made the fan-derived source code available to download once more.
You just got to think of this as socialism in action.
Theo explained in their counterclaim that the code didn't in fact contain any original work or owned by Take-Two Interactive, so it should not have been removed. They filed their claim last month after Take-Two removed over 200 forks of the reverse source, all built off the original reverse engineered code. The original repository and all the rest remain unavailable, as only Theo's fork was restored by the DMCA counterclaim. Take-Two released a statement about this decision. The last thing I needed was this. Well, maybe the last thing I needed was an enema, but this comes close.
Voyager 1, the most distant human-made object, has made yet another remarkable discovery having to do with interstellar space.
It found the Traveler and started talking about whales?
It found a steady, persistent, and long-lasting low-frequency hum that's droning away at approximately 3 kilohertz. This is evidence of plasma, matter so hot that electrons have been stripped away from their atoms, resulting in an ionized or charged gas. On its own, the detection of plasma is insignificant. It is, after all, one of the most abundant forms of visible matter in the universe. What is significant, however, is where this plasma was detected. The very local interstellar medium.
That's just past the local interstellar cloud, right? We can get there in 12 parsecs.
Even more significant is that NASA's Voyager 1 managed to detect weak plasma vibrations in this remote region of space. Previously, the probe detected strong uneasiness in the plasma, known as plasma oscillation events, triggered by coronal mass ejections from the sun. In other words, Voyager 1 recorded the natural background or ambient levels of plasma that exist in deep space, and without the sun's meddling influence.
Don't forget Scooby-Doo, man!
The signal may be weak, but it's stronger than scientists previously thought. That's an exciting result, as Stella Ocker, a PhD candidate at Cornell University and the first author of the new study, explained. We find these weak vibrations even when there are no coronal mass ejections from the sun, which means that we are now capable of measuring the frequency of these vibrations and therefore the plasma density whenever we want, she said. The entire team is excited by this. They all agree that they gotta keep those lovin' good vibrations a-happenin' with her. That's how you get the excitations.
And now, filling a void you did not know you had, you are now able to adopt a pet that looks like one of your favorite pets from one of your favorite horror movies, which you can do thanks to the folks at Texas Chainpaw Massacre.
Pip-it! Here, boy!
Saving animals, one horror movie at a time, is the tagline for the brand started by two sisters back in 2019 who love animals as much as they love horror. We find adoptable animals in shelters, rescues, or foster homes that are doppelgangers of often underappreciated animals in horror movies, the sisters behind Chainpaw explain.
This is kind of cool, but I don't want Church from Pet Sematary or Gage.
Via their Twitter and Instagram pages, the sisters regularly share images and links to pets currently up for adoption around the country, with the only guideline being they must always look like animals featured in a horror movie, like the dog from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, the cat from Reanimator, even the parrot from Deep Blue Sea.
That bird keeps saying I have a fat butt. I'll feed it to a shark myself.
Even if you're not looking to adopt a pet at this time, it's a fun account that you'll probably, you know, like having on your social media feed. It's always great to see horror fans putting their love of horror to good use, and it doesn't get much more wholesome than this. And it's not just the good pets that you can find. You now have a chance to own Cujo, that dog from The Thing, or you could finally get a motherfucking snake from that motherfucking plane. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. F you, Samuel L. Jackson. Go find that movie. Go find that little clip. It's funny. That makes a lot of sense if you do that. And drop us a note when you do and tell us how great that was. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you can send a voice message, a text mail thing. I say them backwards because I don't know what I'm doing, but I do know you need this number.
510-GRD.
PokerStars.net. Get that. You have to join our poker room to play. Not just anybody can get in there. Only the most ostracized people. I mean, the coolest people, yeah.
Peace out, player.
God, these guys are such geek dumbasses. I know.
Good times.
Scat.
skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Fuck off.
You probably noticed I ain't got nothing against you people. I ain't got nothing against you people. I ain't got nothing against any people. That's what I think we need is more love in the world. I don't know about marriage. I don't know if I'd go that far. But I believe in the lunch counter thing. I think if a guy wants to be able to get something to eat, he ought to be able to get something to eat, you know.
Yeah. You're probably wondering why I even picked you up in the first place, eh? A lot of guys are scared. Yeah, they're scared of getting ripped off. They're scared they're going to get beat out of their fares.
A KGYS Public Health Service announcement. Remember, cancer cures smoking. On Spectroscope, a new
my son's
this afternoon, ID
Hubline. Guy used to drive a gypsy cab in New York. You know what a gypsy cab is? Gypsy cab will go to Harlem. Gypsy cab will go to Puerto Rican neighborhood. That's what it is. We used to have a slogan on the side of the gypsy cab. Kind of funny now that I'm working with the yellow cab. Slogan used to be, we will go anywhere. We are not yellow. Get it? We are not yellow. That's no kind of a slur on the Chinese or anything like that. But I ain't afraid because I trust people. I trust people beep, because beep. I like them, you know? Come on, you bastard! Come on! Hey, I could tell from a block away that you was honest. I could tell by your eyes. Well, not the eyes, actually, from a block away. But I go by body language. What's your body language? You got a real honest body. You bastard.